It's 6:15. Let's get you more details on this now. So the future of jobs is changing drastically around the world, and South Africa is not immune. With a heavy shift to technology, it would seem as a country we're not ready as yet for the changes the fourth industrial revolution has thrust upon us. According to the World Economic Forum's Future of Jobs report, less than 30% of South Africa's population have digital skills, yet 82% of companies surveyed say they're seeking to animate work. We speak more now with Mike Schussler on this. He's an economist and he joins us. Thank you very much for joining us, Mike. And I beg your pardon, not animate work, but automate work. So any surprises on your end when you read this report?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit on the negative side. I'll tell you why I think so. Mm-hmm. You know, whilst we're all in lockdown and people have just come out of a world where they're being digitalized very quickly because your Zoom meetings and your Microsoft Teams are working and, you know, you're ordering everything online. There's no doubt that we're going in that direction. I'm not disputing that. But what I think what we need to realize is that the one area that the World Economic Forum has made a mistake is calling that the fourth industrial revolution, because it's actually a service revolution. With the services revolution, I think, that we're going to see as well, it's got hurt very much so now. But if you think of the Uber driver and the waiter, the hotel person, the restaurant manager, the hairdresser, those services have been growing for a long time. And the World Bank has been pointing that out as well. So yes, there will be a digital revolution. It will be services orientated. We need more people, there's no doubt, with the digital skills. But I think to say that 82% or 60% of people in the future are going to do that, I think you take that in 5 or 6 years' time when tourism is back and you look at, we put the COVID-19 behind us, we'll see a little bit of a change. I'm sure it will be 50% or so. It will be a lot less because, as I said, it is also a services revolution. We've been picking that up on the World Bank data, on the International Labour Organization data, which is actually ironically also in Switzerland. So, yes, I agree that we haven't quite made the grade, but I think, and I think there is a lot of learning for us to do. But I would take a step back and say it's not quite as bad as being made out to be for South Africa, because I think we have a lot to give in tourism. I think we have a lot to give in services. I think we must realize how much services have grown. I mean, you see the exports of nurses, you see the from countries, you see doctors, you see all those things, and even domestic workers now. From the Philippines, for example, going to many places like Hong Kong. So we've seen a revolution in services as well, and that's a bit underplayed in that report.
So you talk about the services revolution and you need not think very far off, right? So you think of the lockdown and how, you know, certain jobs or services that were there before that were not, quote unquote, prominent, came to the fore to be the ones that were the saviors of the day, which made us rethink as a people in terms of how we operate. So essentially, are you saying that with such reports to be more critical because we need to be cognizant of the environment in which we operate?
Well, yes. But the thing is, what I am saying is this report's come out during a period of COVID where many people were locked down. So we didn't use Uber. We didn't go to a hotel. So our framework when those questions were asked was perhaps a little bit narrower than usually. Because if you look where the service jobs were growing, you think of Uber and Bolt. You think of Airbnb. You think of the general tourism industry, how many planes there were in the sky, how many, and all that has been hit hard. And it will make a comeback. I'm very positive about that. It will take time. I'm also realistic about that. But I think when you ask questions now, then everybody wants to digitalize. But the real experience that a person wants in the bush, they already 20 years ago could get on TV, or they could 10 years ago see see it on computer screens of their choice. Now, that didn't stop people from coming to, say, the Kruger Park in South Africa or going to Kenya on a grand safari. So I think there's still something to be there. I agree fully that more jobs will be automated. We can see that with the robots in Japan. But at the same time, in a place like Japan, you're seeing the growth of services. You're seeing people that do jobs for other people, that go shopping for them, that keep them company as the population ages. Remember, the world population is also getting older. Older people need more medical care. Older people need more social care. So those will also be growing areas. And yes, the robots need computer geeks, and they need very clever people behind them to build those robots and to plan the production line. There's no doubt. But at the same time, I'm saying this report, because of the period, has forgotten about all the other jobs, and we are now living in the service economy, and we will more and more. Robots will do the manufacturing. We'll provide the friendship, the services, things that we don't think of today. Your children and my children are playing on Discord, where they all talk to each other the whole time. But it's like a service that's provided to them, and you don't need to be very clever to use it. So I think there'll be more things that grow out of that, and I think there will be spaces. We've just got to be very clever on how we do it. We may need to say to people, why don't we take the older population of Europe? We can bring people here, and Japan, and China, where people are aging rapidly, and we provide the old age care for them here, and that provides our people with a job, for example. And it provides a steady stream of children coming to visit their grandparents, which is tourism for us. They sit in the restaurants, they do driving, they keep the rental car agencies going. So I think we've just got to be a bit clever about how we go about it. But yes, there is a digital revolution, but services that we can provide as a country will also still form part of it, I have no doubt.
So the report also notes that increasingly there are jobs that are deemed redundant, and those include accounting, bookkeeping and payroll, client information and customer service works, data entry clerks and administrative assistants. Jobs deemed to be increasingly in demand include process automation specialists, data scientists, social psychologists and big data specialists. When you look at our curriculum, are we preparing our younger generation for these jobs?
Not always, as it seems. But then again, you know, South Africa has been providing accountants in a very high quality. They're one of our best kept secret export products. And I understand that much of the accounting or bookkeeping work will be more automated. But, you know, accountants around the world still have to sign off. Those laws haven't changed. It's just that their work gets easier on the one hand and more complex on the other, as we've seen with the scandals going around. And their job function will probably change from where they look if the firm is making a profit or a loss to where that is sort of par for the course, and they look for the fraud in the firm, and they look for the opportunity that the firm has. They provide already for decades advisory services and that thing. And I think that is something that automation cannot provide. So, you know, if I look at business process outsourcing, there's part of that that is already moving away, because when you do a phone call to a medical aid today, you're going through a whole lot of things that takes you to the right person, makes that you have less people in business process outsourcing. So I could also argue that way. I would agree that there is a whole lot of jobs that will probably change significantly. But, you know, if we go and look at something like a policeman, what a policeman was 200 years ago and what a policeman is today is two completely different things, but it's still a policeman. And the same with a judge, the same with a teacher. I mean, teachers did not even exist up till halfway through the 19th century, in about 1850. For the general public. Before then, it was theological schools and stuff. So the fact is that, you know, these jobs change. They become different and they grow in a different way than we anticipate. And as I said, the one criticism that I have, and many others, of the World Economic Forum, that Carl Schwab has been talking an industrial revolution when in fact it's a services revolution.
So according to data from StatsSA, it shows that lower skilled workers are more vulnerable to unemployment. And of course, our economy shed 2.2 million jobs during the second quarter. When we look at this, right, you can never underestimate the importance of education. Yes. However, in a country like ours, when you have a skill and you can use your hands or you can use your brain to be able to bring about employment for yourself, should we also not be encouraging that?
Yes, absolutely. And just one thing, you know, I agree that there's been massive job destructions. I do the work for Banks of Africa on the take-home pay. And it's something we didn't do, but we just saw a lot of paychecks disappear. And we saw it was more the casual and the weekly people. And, you know, if you take a ride into town, you look at all the panel beaters that have gone out of, never mind the restaurants and others that have gone out of business, and the building and the construction. You know, David was just talking how that's coming back. But the point is, it was the lower skilled people, the lower paid people. It actually increased inequality worldwide. There's about 130 million people that have been thrown into abject poverty. And I would say about a million of them are South Africans, or the World Bank says so. If I look at it in the clear light of day, however, I do think that it will take time. I'm not talking just, a year. But I think we will see a lot of those jobs come back. That confidence needs to come back, so the car salesman goes. The tourism needs to come back, so the rental cars and the hotels come back. The restaurants come back. The high-end hairdressers. All those things, I think, yes, there will be massive changes when they restart. But I think it is undoubtedly that the people without skills, and that's where it's quite right, have had the harder time in this COVID arena. It can also be a hairdresser, that's what I'm saying. That's it.
Okay. A quick one from you, Mike. I think we have the solutions that we need, not just in South Africa, but on the continent. We have so much and we can produce some of the stuff that we actually consume. So how important is reindustrialization in also driving, employment?
I think industrializing for us is a step forward. But we have to think clearly. We have to decide what we want to do and what our neighbors would buy from us, because that, I think, is our natural hinterland, if you wish. And a hinterland is somewhere where you sell in and you buy from. So if we do food and they do clothes, that's a good trade. Is it cars? I'm not too sure. Is it steel? Well, we don't have the electricity for and the pricing for steel. So maybe we should realize China makes 58% of the steel in the world. There's a reason they do that. But we've got a very good agri-processing, agriculture.
Thank you very much for helping us make sense of this World Economic Report this evening. Mike Schussler is an economist talking all things jobs this evening.